This is what happens. The biggest stress that we will ever deal with is we try to do what God does not do, control people's soul.
Hi, friends. Welcome to Joyce Meyer's Talk It Out podcast, where my friends and I talk about God's word and the real stuff of life, and we hold nothing back. I'm Ginger Stocky with Aaron Cluley, Jay, and of course, Joyce Meyer. We're all in different stages of life. A young career woman and mom to two sweet kiddos. An accomplished songwriter facing an unexpected new life's journey. A leader, creative, and author with a heart for adventure. And a world-renowned Bible teacher whose personal story has impacted millions. And there's you. Because sometimes you just need to talk about life with your girlfriends. So consider yourself one of us and let's talk it out. Hey, everyone. We are so glad, friends, that you are with us here today because a very special episode of Talk It Out with all my friends, with Joyce, and with another special guest that you're going to love. And this comes from our Girls Night In event with Joyce that we had not too long ago. The Talk It Out portion of this show is so powerful. We're talking about anxiety, and we are fighting anxiety with everything that we have inside of us. At the Girls Night In event that we actually had, we had a lot of wonderful worship. And we learned that worship is a great way to fight against anxiety. Something about praising the Lord just really makes a difference. It brings peace. And so as we begin this conversation, we were just coming out of some music and there was a beautiful sense of peace in that studio. I think you're going to love being part of this discussion. Well, I was just looking at this audience and thinking how beautiful you all look. Yes. You're all dabbing tears and worshiping. And it's just like there is nothing more beautiful than sincere worship.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I hope that you're all doing that at home too, whether you're by yourself or you're with some girls. Worshiping by yourself can be a wonderful thing. And it's just a way that God really speaks to our hearts. Yeah. So we are going to dig more into this topic and tackle your questions. And I'm so glad that we have our friends Joyce and Jay and Aaron Cluley here with us. And also our special guest, Love McPherson.
Oh, yeah.
Love, thank you for being here.
Such a pleasure. Such a pleasure.
We're so glad. Now, Love is a relationship expert and she's a voice of hope. She is definitely an encourager. She's an author and a speaker who is on a mission to impact generations by teaching individuals how to love better. So she is aptly named tonight.
Love, yes.
As always, you're one of the girls too. And this time, because we're live, you get to share your questions with us right now, right in the chat. And we've already got a lot of questions coming in. So shall we jump right in?
Let's go.
All right. This is a great question to start with. This is talking about something that you said earlier, Joyce. You said, if we should do something at the first sign of anxiety, what thing should we do?
Have a talk with yourself.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
You know, I actually, and this is kind of funny, but I remember when Dave and I would be in a heated, stressful conversation, and I had really committed to God that I was going to stop talking back to him.
Mm.
You know? And you hear that, stop talking back
yeah.
to him.
Yeah,
I
sure.
I can remember one time you can feel it coming.
Rising.
Oh yeah,
it's
like, rising.
And it's, I thought I got to get out of here before it gets to my mouth.
It's coming.
And I literally ran down the hall, locked myself in the bathroom, and stuffed a towel in my mouth.
Whatever.
I thought, well, at least God knows my heart. I want to. I wanted to do it right. Bad enough.
Yeah. You were being obedient to what God
Yeah, I was trying to be obedient to God. And I do believe that you can feel anger coming.
Mm-hmm.
You can feel that stress and worry.
Yeah, for sure.
Getting to the point where it's not just a thought anymore, but you're about to really, really get upset.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I do think that that's the best time. Start praying.
Yeah.
Start right then.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Philippians 4, 6, and 7 is really my go-to scripture.
Yeah.
The minute that I start to worry about something, I will quote Philippians 4, 6, and 7,
mm-hmm.
and I'll do what it says, instead of worrying, I'll pray.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I believe when you have enough experience with God that you really trust him.
Yeah.
And it does take experience.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to go through situations with God, see that he's faithful, see that he'll meet your need.
Yeah.
And every time you go through something, you get a little bit stronger.
Yeah.
And so you pray, you give it to him, mm-hmm. and you act like you really believe mm-hmm. that he is going to take care of it. And, you know, I think a lot of people don't realize that they can enjoy their life while they have a problem.
Ooh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's a huge lesson to learn.
It's hard.
It is.
It's hard. It's really hard. I just had a whole little situation. I talked about it the other day. I had a situation where something really gave me a bit of anxiety. And all of the negative stuff that can come when Satan throws stuff at you, he hit me with it. And it's not easy always to think about, oh, I'm supposed to pray right here. You know, mm-hmm. I just said, oh. I was like, oh. I melted.
Right.
And I went into like this little, I'm sad and I'm anxious. And I told my daughter, I was like, I'm having a moment. Mm-hmm. And I got into bed. Uh-huh. But then here's the thing, though. As I was lying there, I realized I don't like feeling like this.
Yeah.
And God has given me the authority to pivot this situation yeah. and to change this atmosphere. So, I was like, I'm just going to take a nap. And I was like, no, forget that. And I started praying. I turned on the teaching and I started declaring in the room. I was like, this got to go. You know,
yep.
So we have the authority.
Right.
And it can last as long or as short as we actually allow it. And that's mm-hmm. something yeah. that you have to train yourself to do.
Well, let's talk about some of the guilt that we as Christians feel sometimes, because we do have that
yeah,
authority
yeah. Mm-hmm.
and it makes a huge difference. But sometimes we feel like because of that, because I'm a Christian, I shouldn't have that feeling to begin with.
Yeah.
And it really doesn't work that way. And Love, are you seeing that in some of the people that you talk to as well?
For sure I'm seeing that, because what happens is the accuser of the brethren is going to come and tell you how bad you are. Mm-hmm. And this is the thing, when Joyce just answered that question, that was really important, because a lot of times in our relationships, we don't understand that there's two things that are operating, one in the in your head and your thinking, but also in your body.
Yeah.
Notice how she said she felt it
yeah.
rising up. When you see anger will show up in your lower back. You'll see fear show up in your intestines and in your stomach. It'll be stored in different places. Your head, when you start getting headaches, sometimes it's because you're overwhelmed. So it's different
wow.
places where trauma and memories are dumped out in overflow.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I was in a relationship, and I know that's been many years for you, Joyce, but in a relationship, I would want to know, what about what Dave said would trigger such a response? And this could be it. It wouldn't necessarily be something that he said bad to you, but a childhood saying, nobody is going to control me in that area again.
Amen.
Nobody is going to.
You see her? She said, amen.
And so your body, unless you go back and you tell your body this, because trauma won't tell you, this right. is not your dad, or this is not your mom, or this is not somebody who traumatized you, your ex, it will tell you, Dave is this person. It will not give you a distinction. So you're literally being lied to. Your body is an indicator of something else happening right now. So what do we do is we do the same thing when you gave the testimony about the sweetener. It was pain that caused you to go to the doctor. But otherwise, you just kept on taking the sweetener. Once you start seeking the answer, God revealed it. The same thing for when you feel anxiety. In your body, the feelings, that's an alarm system.
Mm-hmm.
When
that's,
you see the
exactly
alarm
right.
system happen, what you need to do is say, I'm not going to be led by the alarm, but this is an indicator.
Yeah.
What does this mean next? And so now it's
time.
Doesn't
mean you're weak or that you're bad because of that, a bad Christian.
Exactly. And so what ends up happening, we believe that Satan will tell you, you shouldn't be feeling this way. No, what God is doing, I believe, is that he is saying, guess what? You have the ability of storage, of memory, of the entire internet can be stored in a human.
Hmm.
We have like 2.5 billion gigabytes of memory. With all that storage, We store things and we don't know that there are lies inside of us. Mm. God is all about the truth. When he can dig up and he says, there's some lies that's stopping you. There's some lies that are halting you. When he takes those lies and he says, no, this is not the same. So he'll make you feel sensations in your body. And what do? The same thing you do when you feel physical. If a stomach, you go and check it out and say, what is this? Right.
Yeah.
What am I feeling? And God does that so that he can continue to bring the truth out of us so we can walk as one, so we don't have limitations. It's so important that we don't feel condemned, but we feel thankful that God has shown us and given us revelation.
That's exactly right. You know, the Bible says, be angry and sin not.
Yes. Yeah.
Doesn't tell you to never get angry.
Yeah. Yeah.
To never feel anger.
Yes.
And Ginger talked about the guilt, and I used to feel so guilty. One day I was going to teach, and I had had a situation where I had felt all that anger, and I managed to control it. And God said, "You don't. It's not a sin to be tempted.
Yes.
The sin is when you come into the temptation."
Mm-hmm.
And so
I love what you're saying, because I feel that so much. I struggle with anxiety. I started when I had my first kid, and it just messed me all up. And I apparently probably had these things like hiding underneath things, this like desire to control, but I didn't have anybody to push back on that, so I could. And then I had kids, and all of a sudden I can't control my situations. I can't control what's going to happen to them. And so I feel out of control. Then I feel guilty because I am a Christian, and like I work at Joyce Meyer Ministries.
I shouldn't
have anxiety.
No other mother ever does it.
I am the only one.
Right?
No, I'm the only one who has anxiety. But what that has done for me is it truly has pushed me to Jesus, because I am now seeing like what is in my heart that makes me feel anxious when I can't control. Like if I have to pick between a sick kid or a work thing, what is happening in my heart that's causing me such anxiety?
Yeah.
And that's like me feeling I'm not good enough or I won't measure up because of that decision. So it did. It pushed me to Jesus.
And Satan always comes for our identity.
Mm-hmm.
And because he knows we're made in the image and likeness of Almighty God. So he starts off as children, snatching us away from our identity. And those messages tell us, I'm not enough.
Yeah.
I'm not worthy. I can't. Put all these stipulations. And then, like, if we are, our parents are dysfunctional and we become parentified children where we're parenting our parents or parenting our siblings, what ends up happening when the guilt is available, the reason why Satan can come to us with the guilt is because we are on performance-based relationships with our parents and become performance-based with God. So when we're not performing, oh no, I should, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And then the church does not offer a book like this with five great steps to tell you the process. So we'll spiritually bypass people and just say, oh, the joy of the Lord, you should just give them, and you're like, but how?
Right.
And here's a book saying, here's five great steps that you can do it. So we have to teach people the process, practical processes of how, and then they can get to the other side of this.
Yeah. I think there's a really important thing that Joyce says in the book, right in the introduction, right away. She says, she's talking about anxiety and worry are a common human response. So we all deal with these things.
Right. Very common.
And we have to realize this is how God created us for a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
But then she goes on to say that there are times when it becomes larger than we can deal with on our own. And she says when therapy or medication is warranted, we should not feel ashamed of getting the help we need.
Right.
And I think that's important, that there are steps that we take spiritually.
Yeah.
And as that begins to affect our body, there are things that we need to do physically as well. God made us a whole person. It goes hand in hand.
Mm-hmm. Ginger, do you mind me? Joy said something which was profound. She said that worry is pride. Let me tell you something.
Mm-mm.
That was
when she said that.
I read that part of the book.
But the truth of the matter is this. This is what happens. When we worry, this is what science tells us. When we worry and we spend that time worrying a lot, because 85% of what we worry about will not happen.
That's right.
But when it doesn't happen, dopamine is dropped into our system. Dopamine is a happy chemical.
Uh-huh.
So what it does, it says, see, all that worry paid off.
Yeah. Oh.
So it rewards us for worrying.
Everybody's like,
and now we feel like because we worried, Look at us. Look at, I avoided that catastrophe that was going to happen. Mm-hmm. So we become prideful and we worry more and more for the reward of the dopamine being dropped in our system.
Wow.
You know, since we have a relationship expert here.
Ooh, do it, Joyce.
There's just something that's really strong on my heart. One of the things that caused me the most stress and anxiety was people.
My Lord. And they're everywhere.
My Lord.
And they are absolutely everywhere.
Everywhere. Can't get away from them.
You need them. You can't do without them. But they drive you crazy.
Yep.
And here's what set me free. I mean, if God wouldn't have shown me this, I think I would have gone absolutely nuts. We're all different.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the worst thing that we do that stresses us out is try to change other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there you go. You can have it.
You know what? And I heard you allude to this when you were talking, and I said, this is what happens. The biggest stress that we will ever deal with is we try to do what God does not do, control people's soul.
That's right.
And this is the fear of relationships, that I can't trust that every single day of my life, they are going to desire me, choose me, pick me, do me right, meet my emotional needs. We don't trust. Why? Because in our childhood, the people that had roles that were supposed to protect us, love us, they chose not to. It might have been conditional. Mm-hmm. It might have been self-centered, a lot of different things. And when we are even just a past, even if it's not childhood, it could be the past relationship. And so what happens is we learn not to trust people. And so we fear dating. We fear marriage. We fear connecting and bonding. And one psychotherapist said, you know, all anxiety is separation anxiety. Now, I tend to believe that, and this is why. Separation from God, separation from ourselves, and separation from others.
Yeah. Mm.
If he can get us to separate from God because we believe that God is not pleased with us, mm-hmm. and put guilt in front of us. Mm-hmm. If he can get us to separate from ourselves because we are not worthy. People have told us from covert messages and overt messages that we are not lovable, not worthy of love. If he can give us to separate from people, and God said, it's not good that man be alone.
Well, you know, the reason why we try to change people is because we think they should be like us.
Exactly.
And that's the worst kind of pride right there.
Yeah.
Is everybody should do it the way I do it. They should think the way I think. Mm-hmm. They should react the way I act. I remember looking at Dave and thinking, how could you possibly like that?
That's true.
I mean, us trying to decorate together was like a total nightmare. How could you possibly like that? And I believe that a humbling has to come for us to realize that God created us all to be different.
Yeah.
And I do not have the right to try to make you be like me or think like me. I need to love who you are, not who I want you to be.
Yes. Yeah. And allow people the free will, because God, that's what God does. Everyone sitting here on this stage and in the audience is different. And a lot of times, though, we get into our segments, we get into our cliques, we get into negativity bias, where we're biased against people who don't believe the same way as us and don't look the same way as us. And we take that into our relationships. And this is the problem with it. If we already don't feel it's enough, we feel like somebody has to follow and do exactly like us to confirm stuff that we don't even like
That's
about
exactly
our own
right.
selves.
Yeah.
We
That's
want
right.
them to confirm areas of I am enough that we have not ourselves confirmed.
I wanted everybody to be like me, and I didn't even like me.
Exactly.
Yeah. I do
we want our mate to do more than what we do for our own selves.
Yeah, like post-divorce, like I'm almost 2 years now divorced. I remember going through a lot of anxiety and a lot of just pressure and worry. And all of you all on the stage have played a part in helping me get over that. I would call Love and be like, help. She was like, let me Zoom you right now. But here's the thing. This is what I'm going to say. I had to humble myself, because one of the main things when you're going through not feeling enough or having anxiety, you have times when you want to isolate. You don't want to be around people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You don't want, you just, because it, I remember not feeling seen, not feeling heard. Like, does anybody out here see what's happening? And no one's saying anything. And it would just cause me to have, I couldn't sleep. I would have night sweats. I would just be almost like paralyzed. And so one of the things that's helped me come through, and I still have moments, y'all. I said I just had some Sunday. But when I was really going through it, I really had to humble myself and say, I need help.
And that's okay.
And that I need help, and I need a counselor. But I also, because I wanted to break any kind of, if there's a generational curse of people not expressing that they need help, I wanted my daughter's help. Like, even on Sunday, I told my daughter, I need you to pray for me. Like, I'm having a moment. So it's things like that, like things that give me anxiety also are like bills now, post-divorce. Like things that are still kind of tethered to my my ex-husband and things like that. Like, it gives me anxiety. I don't want to touch it. And it's not doing anything but making things worse by avoiding it. But I had to ask a friend just this week. I was like, I need you to hold me accountable with this list of things. So worry is pride. Not asking for help is all pride. And you have to learn how to humble yourself when you're in those moments. And even no matter if you're sitting on a platform like this, if you're serving at your church, if you're a CEO of a company, if you're a pastor, it doesn't matter. It's okay to say, I need help.
Yeah.
And because that guilt, I don't want my daughter to feel the guilt that if she ever needs help, I don't ever want her to feel like she can't ask for help. So I need to lead by example. Yeah. And I want that for her because I'm vulnerable. Learning it now.
That's vulnerable when you've had people who haven't stepped up in other areas of your life. If you have a history of like asking for or needing and people didn't step in, you start not trusting that people will intervene like you need them to. And so that
makes sense. Yeah. When you've been hurt like that, you have the experience that tells you this hurts and I don't want to go through it again. Mm-hmm. What do I do to avoid it? And
that's
sometimes
the
only thing you can do is to step into it more to deal with it. Leah from Oregon is asking this. After a number of bad things have happened, how do you stop always expecting another bad thing to happen?
Proverbs 15:15.
Preach to me. Tell me, because that's my question. Whatever her name is. Come on, tell me.
I used to have that so bad because I had so many bad things happen in my life. And one morning after I was filled with the Holy Spirit and I was starting to learn the word, I was in the bathroom getting ready to go wherever I was going. And I felt this thing in my atmosphere that seemed to always be with me, like threatening me, like this low-level fear, you know, what's going to be the next thing. And I just said to God, what is this? And he spoke in my heart, evil forebodings, and I didn't even know what that was. And then I found it in Proverbs 15:15 that it's evil forebodings that cause all this anxiousness and worry and stress that we have. That's why I am so excited about hope. Because hope is the aggressive expectation that something good is about to happen to me at any moment.
I think that's so good. I think as you're saying all that, I think I've had that. And I don't even think I realized it. Like this journey of getting over anxiety is a journey. And so I think I've been having those evil forebodings, even like silly things, but I have become a procrastinator in some areas, which I'm not normally, because I think that good thing's not actually going to happen. So why would I even bother planning for it? Because that's a waste of my time and I'll get my expectations too high. So I'll procrastinate. But I don't want to be like that. I've lost the hope in some of that.
I was negative and I was afraid to believe that something good would happen because I didn't want to be disappointed.
I'm afraid.
It didn't.
It's a defense mechanism. And it absolutely is.
The devil wants you to expect something bad.
Yes.
And God wants the exact opposite. He wants you to expect something good because we do get what we expect and what we believe for.
It feels really vulnerable, though, to expect the good part because it feels safer to say, it's probably not going to happen, so I'll just not worry about it.
Defense mechanism.
It is. So it feels kind of raw to say that.
But one of the things that you have to remember also is that's why it's so good to do journals, prayer lists, gratefulness, like grateful journals, because it takes us, our brains, 10 to 20 seconds to remember to hear a compliment or to know that something good has happened to us. Think, If I keep counting, that's a lot of airtime, right?
It is. Yeah,
but it takes a quarter of a second, a split second, a quarter of a second to hear something negative. Mm. So you will remember with all the bad things your spouse said, or all the bad things that the things that God didn't come. Well, I was praying for my mama, and she still died, and I was praying for this. I did things right in my marriage, and I still ended up in divorce. We will remember that. But how many good things did God do?
Yes.
Do?
Yeah.
If we have to keep our memory fresh with the goodness of God so that we can expect goodness from
God. A great example of that, and I was telling people this earlier, as Brian and Katie were singing the song, Same God, that was a song that our family was standing on for the healing of my brother-in-law, who we lost this year. And so just hearing that song, I was like, it's too hard. Mm. It's too hard to hear this song. And because those things come up and you feel that disappointment again and the grief. And I'm so glad they kept singing. You know, they didn't stop when I wanted them to. And God does something miraculous when you keep praising when you don't even want to.
Man.
When we worship because of who he is, not because of how we feel. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I could begin to feel God breaking some of that off. And it doesn't happen quickly because grief is a terrible long thing.
Yeah.
But you begin to see glimmers of hope. And you begin to see those things that were bringing up those bad memories. God's going to turn it and bring it together for our good.
The exact same thing happened with me with Waymaker. Like I remember,
I wondered about that
because I told you guys, that was the song right after, because I found out about everything that was going on with my marriage right before I was going on the platform to lead worship, and that was the song that. Mm-hmm. That was the first bout of like real anxiety I got on stage doing what I know I'm called to do, which is lead worship. I'm like Waymaker, miracle work, and I'm singing it. And all of a sudden it's like, even when I don't see it, are you working? Like I almost like stopped. So when they were singing that tonight, I was just kind of like, whew. And I had to kind of like just power through it and sing it. I was like, this is a good time for a bathroom break. But then I was, but I powered through it and kept worshiping through it, you know?
What were you going to say, Joy?
I was just going to say in Zechariah, it says that if we will be a prisoner of hope.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I love it when you talk about that.
That he'll give us double,
everything
we lost.
Yeah. Yes.
And so when you think about a prisoner, they're in a place they cannot get out of.
Mm-hmm.
And God wants us to be so convinced of hope and to have hope so deeply embedded in our soul.
Yeah.
That we're like in prison with it.
Yeah.
We cannot get away from it. I cannot help myself.
Yep.
I have to hope.
I want to go to hope jail. How do I get there? What do I need to do?
Yes. Oh, wow.
Help me.
Every day you get up and the first thing you say before your feet hit the floor is something good is going to happen to me today. And not just that, but something good is going to happen through me today. We can't just want good stuff for ourselves.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. That.
We got to reach out.
So when you say that in the morning, and then the day goes by, and then something not great happens that you're anxious about or whatever, what then do you do?
I get up the next day and say something.
You do it again. Okay, so we just keep going.
See, that's what really defeats the devil is when you refuse to give up.
Mm. That's good.
Yeah. Here's a question that I think is very, very practical, and I think this will help a lot of people because sometimes we don't understand the trigger. We don't understand why do all of a sudden I feel like this. So Pamela from California says, what do I do when I wake up in the middle of the night from my heart racing and my body drenched in sweat and I feel wide awake just in seconds? You know, when you have that instant trigger of, whoa, there's something happening. What do we do? How do we deal with moments like that?
First, I would look at my body because she described her chest area and things like that. And that is a place of hurt and pain. If it's body sweats and things like that, that's trauma. And so I would look to see, you know, what are my sources? What am I thinking about, you know, associate all of those things that have not been treated. If you follow Joyce's ministry, you'll see she's had some horrific traumas, But she went back and dealt with those things.
Yeah.
And when we don't go back and deal with those traumas and we just keep breezing along, those traumas will still follow us. Hmm. So we have to say, God, show me the things, because the heart is deceitful. I don't know what's in my heart. But see, out of the abundance of the heart, the amygdala, which is your fear center, the mouth will speak. As a man thinketh in his heart, not as his frontal cortex, not your thinking brain, but your fear-based brain, your unconscious. Out of that abundance, mm-hmm. whether it was the abundance covertly or overtly, that's what's going to come out of your mouth. That's what's going to come out of your body. So there is something that God is trying to heal in you, and use it as indicators, not guides, not sources of guilt, but indicators that God, show me and tell me. And just like he showed her the sweetener, Joyce, you the sweetener, he'll show her what the, you remember the trauma? You know, it was suppressed. You don't even remember that. Hmm. This is what happened.
You know, we're always trying to avoid facing things.
Mm. Yeah.
Avoidance. And the only way out is through.
Yes, it is.
You have to go through.
Sure.
And if I can take just a second, there's a little story in that book that I thought was so cute as I was rereading my book today. I said there was a mouse that saw a cat and it was afraid of the cat.
Yes,
I love it. So it wished that it could become a cat. Mm-hmm. So it became a cat. Mm-hmm. And then the cat saw a dog and was afraid of the dog. So it wished it could become a dog. So it became a dog. And then the dog saw a lion, and he was afraid of the lion, so he wished he could be a lion. So he became a lion. Then he saw a man with a gun pointed at him, and he wished he could become a man. He became a man, and then the man saw a mouse and was frightened of the mouse.
So, full circle.
So, it's a cycle.
So the thing that I thought is, you got to face it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't. You cannot run away from it. You'll just be going in circles, like I always say, going around and around the same stupid mountain your whole life. Mm-hmm. You have to face things and deal with them. And many times that involves facing not just what's wrong with everybody else, not just what my mom and dad did to me, or not just what my husband did to me, but why am I?
Yes.
Still dealing with this the way that I am.
Yeah, just one of those practical things that I would do if I was awakened in the middle of the night. Sometimes it felt like tortured in my sleep, you know, especially going through some of the real tough times. One of the practices I made, I would just, you know, touch myself and be like, I'm okay.
Right.
God is with me. I'm okay. I would take those breaths, like what was on the screen. I would take those breaths, mm-hmm. like deep breaths, and calm myself down. I would get up and walk around, maybe make some tea. You know, I would keep like chamomile tea and things around, things like that. But then that would be the time, if I couldn't fall back asleep, I use that time to write. You know, I use that time to either write a song or journal, or write out a list of gratitude, things that made, you know, that I was grateful for, like collecting those stones, like the children of Israel, like collecting those, remembering what God did and what God's done. And that would always, and I would turn on music too. I can't listen to worship music a lot with words, because I'm a musician. And so hearing those words, I'll be like, I'll get distracted. I'm like squirrel. I'll start singing. So I would turn on instrumental music. There's stuff that like even has like binaural beats on there, like that helped me just calm down and just remember that I'm okay. Like, nobody's coming after me. Nothing else is happening.
Yes.
God's with me. And Jesus, please let me get back to sleep. God, I have a meeting in a few hours, you know? And he would end up doing that, you know?
Yeah. I think sometimes we forget what peace is even like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just
comfortable in the chaos.
Exactly. Exactly. And God is saying that he is the God of peace that passes all understanding.
Yes.
So there is peace available to us that does not even make sense.
Mm-hmm. Right.
When everything seems a little crazy around us, God is still a God of peace.
Yes.
So I love something you said in the book, and it really hit me when we're talking about this pride thing. You say that you value peace so much that you're willing to give up being anxious, worried, angry, unforgiving, offended, or upset in order to have it, and that you're even willing to give up being right.
Yes.
That means you really want it.
You really want it.
That was
really want it.
Yeah. That was the one that killed me right there. Was, yes, honey.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Uh-huh. Thank you. Mm-hmm. See, our husbands like to tell us what to do, and they mean well.
They do.
But it's like, now, hold on to the banister when you go down the stairs, Joyce. Now, be careful when you get out of that bathtub. And that kind of stuff would drive me nuts. Well, we've all learned. We have this thing going on here, the Talk It Out show. Thank you.
You'd be instead so proud,
saying,
love.
Yeah. Instead of saying, don't you think I know that?
Yeah. I am a
what,
smart
what do you
lady.
Think I'm stupid that I don't know how to go down the steps?
And that's even with my ex-husband. I told y'all, I said, I'm going to try it because he wrong most of the time. But I've been saying, okay.
I love what you say when you say that, Joyce, that you'll do anything for peace. Because I, in the past few years, I feel that to my core. Like, I don't care what I have to do. I'll move where you tell me to move. I will do, I will say, I will not say whatever you want me to say, because I will not go back to that place of that constant fear.
People will never have peace until they want it bad enough.
Yeah, it's so true. Yeah.
To do whatever God mm-hmm. tells them to do.
Like a desperation almost. It. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I had so much turmoil in my life.
Yeah.
Honestly, when I first started getting peaceful, I was bored.
Because you're so used to the turmoil.
That's so true.
I was.
Yeah.
I
peace
was
just, is boring.
I was like, why am I... You
but
know,
you learn to master chaos.
We do.
You really yeah, that's like true. Develop masterful skills.
Now I love it. Yeah. Like,
it's the peace that's the unknown place, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
So you have to learn how to you know what, people see that they do that with in dating. You'll see girls say, he's too nice, as opposed to what? And so yeah. I you have to challenge them, because some say they get to the point where I really don't know how to love
right.
or give or receive love. Mm-hmm. And when it's a foreign place that they have to go to in order to connect with somebody,
yeah.
a lot of times they will avoid it, sabotage it, give reason for not to
without
exist
even realizing.
But if Satan
right.
can convince you to not love
yeah.
because God is love, so he would love for you to close off that love portion of you.
Yeah.
You got to stay open to love.
Yeah.
And love of us. And I say, you know, you hear me say all the time, you know, 40 years in May coming up, okay?
Congratulations.
But I said, love is not the hardest part. It's staying in like with Tony McPherson.
Right. Well, I have to tell you, before we're out of time, I know that coveting is a sin. But I covet your name. Oh, I wish my name was love. See,
look,
I got it right there on
love.
My foot.
You know what? I didn't appreciate it when I was younger, but I do love it. My mother named me Love because of her love for my dad. 60-year relationship, and they really get it too. But let me tell you something. Joyce, this came with a price, because my mother was like, okay, you're going to learn 1 Corinthians 13th chapter, the whole chapter, not the verses, the whole chapter.
I'll have to say that I put that on my foot because of how much I love Dave.
Aww. Yeah, that's good.
That's sweet.
Yeah.
I'm making it up.
It's not true.
It ain't true, but...
But we will spread that for you.
I can't spread that around for me.
That's a testimony right there, though. Because Satan came in your life so hard as a child to try to make you distrust love and not feel loved in the right way. For you to have that as this is the outcome of that, you are a symbol of what trauma can be healed and worked through. And what has always attracted me to this ministry is that you always told the truth. You were vulnerable.
About anybody.
Okay. And the vulnerability allowed people to say, me too. They didn't have to hide behind themselves. They were free to come out.
It's
and
freeing.
I just think that that's what we need.
Yeah.
Well, there are so many just real quick, easy things. For me, one of the things is to slow down.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can be in such a hurry all the time that you know, you get more and more stressed
mm-hmm.
because you're just buzzing around all the time. Sometimes breathing and slowing down, perfectionism, fight perfectionism,
yeah.
and that will help relieve a lot of stress and anxiety in your life. Anything else that just comes to mind, just single words, things that will help?
Quiet.
I yell stop. Oh, yeah, that was mine.
What'd you say?
Quiet.
Just
having quiet.
Yeah.
Being still.
Give yourself that.
Get where it's quiet.
Yeah. I have to tell myself to be quiet, like stop, because of the reasoning, the racing of my mind. Mm-hmm. So I will say stop.
My and new thing is good. Fun. Find more fun, like play. Like when we were kids, we played. But the older we get, it pivots from play to games, which becomes competitive.
I agree.
And now that we're adults, games are now, like everything's just a cat race and it makes you stressed. Play. Have fun. Find
keep
the fun
that
again.
Sense of wonder. About
childlike faith.
There's so much there that God is giving us all the time that we miss it when our lives are just pushed down by all the anxiety and everything going on.
And mine is breathe, what you've been talking about all the time. I think we underestimate the power of the breath of God, that healing breath of God that is resonating through us. And I believe we need to tap in more.
Yeah, because when you're stressed, you hold your breath.
Yes.
And it really does do a lot of damage to your body.
It really does.
Well, thank you all very much. Thank you. Such good stuff. You know, we do love to offer you resources to help you continue in your journey in the Bible. And tonight we encourage you to check out Joyce's free Bible study called The Answer to Anxiety. It's free, like I said. It's great to dig into the Word. There's so much power there. Go to joycemeyer.org/anxiety study or click the button on your screen. And remember that we release a new episode of the Talk It Out podcast every other Tuesday with Joyce and Jay and Aaron and wonderful guests just like Love. So join us as we study the Word together and talk about real life. You can check it out at joycemeyer.org, Talk It Out, or wherever you like to get your podcasts. Wasn't that great? It's something so freeing just to be able to share with your friends what you're going through. It's really important. And we just pray that that peace that we were talking about, that joy that God has for you, is something that you will experience today. We love you. We thank you for talking it out with us, and we'll see you next time. JoyceMeyer.org/talkitout is a wonderful place. Go there for today's resource, to check out all of the episodes, and to get to know us a little better. Please don't forget to subscribe wherever you listen or watch Joyce Meyer's Talk It Out podcast, and let us know what you're thinking. Your voice is important to us.